Hey everybody, Daniel here. And as a pastor with Meridian Church of God, we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired by this message. Enjoy. Well, happy Father's Day. In seminary, I had to take some psychological tests, and then I met with the school psychologist to go over my results. He told me that I have an unhealthy attachment to my father. I asked him why he thought that, and he said it was based on the fill-in-the-blank answer I gave to my father was seldom blank. Now, I wrote that my father was seldom selfish, but he explained to me that by refusing to criticize my dad, that it revealed that I have an unhealthy attachment. So, in an effort to break that unhealthy attachment, on this Father's Day, I'm going to tell a story about a time when my dad abandoned me. Once upon a time, I needed to replace the roof on my house, and I couldn't afford to pay someone else to do it. So my dad offered to help me. He even recruited some other people, which included one of his friends who actually knew how to replace shingles. And this friend came to show us how to do it and keep the rest of us from messing up. Anyway, the project was going to take several days, and one night my dad was spending the night so that he could get up early the next day to help me. But that night, he had a call from my brother. My dad decided to abandon me and go help my brother instead. Later, I will tell you the rest of the story and about my feelings toward my dad and what they were when he left me. But first, let's talk about you. If you were to fill in the blank with, "My father was seldom blank," what word would you use? The relationship between a father and his children can be complicated, as you may even hear people talk about daddy issues. This Father's Day, I want to acknowledge that we all have different emotions about the day. Some of us grew up without a father and maybe have struggled with a sense of missing out. Some of us have lost fathers and we grieve their loss. Some of us grieve because we miss them, and some of us grieve because we have regrets. Some of us have tension with our fathers, and some even feel anger towards them. Wherever you are on the spectrum of how you feel about Father's Day, I hope that you see hope today in Jesus' story about a father. Whenever we look at something that is written in the Bible, it is helpful to consider the context. So today we're going to read a few verses that explain why Jesus told what ended up becoming perhaps his most memorable story or parable. Now it starts with Luke 15, verses 1 through 3. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Now, if you were going to read all of the Gospel of Luke, you would probably notice that Luke points out that the people who often grumbled about Jesus were Pharisees and teachers of the law. So, who were the Pharisees and teachers of the law? For the most part, they were model religious people. They took the scriptures seriously, attended services regularly, stood against immorality, and tithed faithfully. In case you don't understand what tithing is, it is a practice of giving away at least 10% of your income. Well, it might be easy to read over these verses about the scribes and Pharisees and tax collectors and sinners listening to Jesus or grumbling about him, but these verses tell us why Jesus told the three parables that followed. Now, Luke says that the tax collectors and sinners, aka the bad people, were gathered around to hear Jesus, while the Pharisees and teachers of the law, aka the good people, were muttering about Jesus. As we read all throughout the Gospels, we see that Pharisees and teachers of the law were trying to find fault with Jesus. And the reason why Jesus told this parable and these parables is because the Pharisees and scribes were muttering about him. Now, to hammer down his point to his critics, Jesus tells three parables. They're all good, but I think he saved the best for last. That is the parable we are going to read today. In Luke 15, 11 through 24, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have good food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Jesus tells this great story about forgiveness and grace and reconciliation and redemption. We even call this parable the prodigal son, because it is about the baby of the family rebelling and wild living and then being forgiven by his gracious father. Now, there are some great songs and sermons that have been written and inspired by the parable of the prodigal son. Recently, ESPN released a popular documentary called The Last Dance about Michael Jordan, a basketball player with the Chicago Bulls. And it ended with Michael Jordan hitting the last shot and winning the sixth championship for the Chicago Bulls. It was a perfect ending to Jordan's career. So that is where the documentary ended. However, Jordan's basketball playing career did not really end after the last shot of the Last Dance season with the Bulls. 3 years later, he came back to play for the Washington Wizards for two seasons. In Washington, Jordan was not quite as good as he was for the Bulls, and his team was not even good enough to make the playoffs, let alone championships. Jordan's two seasons in Washington were not a good ending, so most of us just ignore that part. Jesus did something similar to Jordan with the story of the prodigal son. Instead of just leaving it with the party, he came back and finished in kind of a disappointing way. Listen to this in Luke 15, 25 through 32. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because of him, back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property and with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The end. For real this time. When the oldest brother found out that dad was throwing the irresponsible younger son a party, he was angry and mumbled about his dad. He believed that his dad should have given his brother a lecture instead of a party. So instead of joining the party for his brother, the older brother has a pity party. So the father goes outside to the pity party and invites his self-righteous son to the better party. How does the older brother respond to the invitation? Does he stay outside sulking, or does he join the party? We don't know. It's a cliffhanger indicating that he had choice. Do you remember why Jesus was telling this story? He was telling this story to the Pharisees and the scribes who grumbled against him for welcoming sinners and eating with tax collectors. And this story, they are the older brother. Maybe the name prodigal son isn't the best way to talk about this parable, because it's not just about the prodigal son. It's about the older brother too. That was Jesus's intended audience for this story. Jesus told this story to show them that even though they thought they were good, that their hearts were far from the heart of their Father in heaven, who they claimed to serve. The heart of our Father in heaven is turned toward his children. The Hebrew scriptures even end with the prophet Malachi foretelling of a prophet who would come before the day of the Lord. And the last words of the last book in the Old Testament say in Malachi 4:6, he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. And with these words, the Hebrew scriptures end. Then John the Baptist and Jesus come hundreds of years later, proclaiming the kingdom of God being at hand. God wanted his messenger to align the hearts of parents and children. The Pharisees and teachers of the law had hearts that were not aligned with their heavenly Father. They did not love their brothers, who were less deserving than they were. And Jesus called them on it. He told this parable to show them how, despite religion and professed love of God, their hearts were far from the heart of God. As another prophet named Isaiah, speaking on the Lord's behalf, said in Isaiah 29:13, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus told this parable to invite the wild younger brothers and the self-righteous older brothers to turn their hearts away from their sin and pride, and to turn their hearts toward the heart of the Father in heaven. We are all invited to the party and have the choice about our response to the invitation. The heart of the Father is turned toward you. If you sense the Spirit of God inviting you to turn your heart toward Christ, I want to offer to lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, your kindness is leading me to turn to you. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I offer you my life. I will follow you. Teach me your ways and fill me with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to give me life. In Jesus' name, amen. A long time ago, a man named B.B. Warfield wrote an article called The Emotional Life of Our Lord, where he studied the emotions displayed by Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus expressed a lot of different emotions, but according to Warfield, there was one emotion that was easily the most frequently attributed to Jesus by Gospel writers, and that emotion is, drumroll please, compassion. Compassion means to suffer together and can be defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. Let's follow Jesus by growing compassion in our hearts. How do we do that? Well, Jenny and I are reading a couple's devotional written by Tim and Kathy Keller. Last week, some of the words struck me. As they said, the word identity literally means sameness. If there is nothing about you that is the same, if you are completely different in every situation and relationship, you have no identity. An identity is a core you that is continuously there. Now, every person's heart is filled with contradictory desires and impulses. How can I know who the real me is? Well, identity is forged. It is forged through discovering truth outside of ourselves and bringing ourselves into alignment with us, with it. Compassion was a big part of Jesus' identity. Jesus chose compassion. He practiced compassion. He forged compassion. Jesus invited people into the compassionate heart of God, and it was his kindness that led people to turn to him. Now let's choose to be compassionate. As we think about how to follow Jesus with compassion, let's hear these words written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Earlier, I told you that my dad left my roofing project to be with my younger brother. Do you know how I felt about my dad leaving? Well, I'll have to tell you, I was glad he went to be with my brother. Now, I'll spare you the details, but trouble attacked my brother, and we were all suffering with him. My compassionate father, who is seldom selfish, has his heart turned toward all his children. And in that moment, he needed to comfort my brother. Okay, so maybe I still have an unhealthy attachment to my father. But I'm good with that. There are worse issues I could have, and I do have. So, let's be people who align our hearts with the Father of compassion. Let's look to comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have been given. Will you pray with me? Father of compassion, we praise you. We don't merely want to honor you with our lips and mouths, so we turn our hearts toward you now. There are many ways that we can turn our hearts away from you. All of us have gone astray. All of us have missed the mark. All of us have had our hearts in the wrong place. And this morning, we turn to you and ask you to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Soften our hearts so that we can truly pray for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done. Thank you for Jesus, who revealed to us the heart of God, inviting us to be part of your kingdom. We ask for the Spirit of God to stir us to compassion. And may you comfort us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we have received from you. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Meridian Church of God podcast. If you would like to subscribe, you can find us on iTunes or other podcast services. Please like us on our Facebook page as we offer videos and other content. We also have messages and information posted on our website, MeridianChog, that's Meridian, C-H-O-G, .org. We appreciate this opportunity to connect with you. May God bless you, and may you be a blessing.